We're up to Shmuel Beis, Perek Yud Beis. Pasuk, we'll resume from Pasuk Tes. Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Tes. Nathan had come to David and had told him the story about there was a wealthy man who had so many sheep and cattle, and the poor man only had one kivsa, one little lamb that he raised like part of the family. This little ant lamb ate his bread and drank from his cup and slept together with him and was like a daughter. And then the wealthy man had a guest and he took the poor man's sheep and he brought it and he shechted it and he prepared it to serve his guest. And David was furious and he said, a wealthy man who has so much and he takes what this poor man has. And that was like the poor man's life was this little lamb. The one who does such a thing deserves death. And of course he has to pay fourfold. He has to pay four times for the value of that sheep. And Nathan said to David, Ato Haish, you are the person that when you went ahead and you took Uriah's wife, you took Bathsheba, you yourself said, such a sin deserves death. And we were learning how actually there was legal justification for what David did. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu judged him strictly lefi his madrega with the midas hadin and based on the Chil Hashem involved. David was judged very harshly. We're on Pasuk Tes. Madua Bazis, we mentioned this last year, but I'd like to resume from this Pasuk. Madua Bazisas Dvar Hashem. Nathan continued and he said to David, why did you despise, you scorned the word of Hashem? Lasos harab be'inov, to do what was evil in his eyes. And the Gemara says in Shabbos, it was Lasos on Daf Nun Vav, Lasos harab be'inov. David was prepared to do what was evil in the eyes of Hashem. But he didn't. As it worked out, David really didn't do anything technically wrong. Bathsheba was divorced from her husband Uriah. And Uriah deserved death because he was Moreh B'Malchus. He refused to do what the king wanted, and there were other things that he did incorrectly. So Uriah deserved death, and Bathsheba was not married. But Lasos harab be'inov, what David did could have, David was prepared to do what was wrong. What he did could have ended up being wrong. And that, therefore, that was called scorning the word of Hashem. Es Uriah Achiti hikisov acherev. You struck Uriah Achiti by the sword. And again, we learned, technically, that was okay. Uriah was a Morid B'Malchus, and even the way he was killed, David sent the message that when the battle is being waged around the city, so it's a question of choosing which battalion fights in which section, Uriah should be placed in the area where the battle is fiercest. And so it was done indirectly, it was done in the manner of war, and true, the soldiers pulled back and he was left there and he ended up being killed, but it was all done in the manner, in the course of battle. So he didn't really kill Uriah, and even if he would have, Uriah really deserved death. Ves ishto lakachta lachol isha, and his wife you took for yourself as a wife. And Chazal points out that he took that Gemara in Shabbos, he took Bathsheba for a wife, but now she was married to him. It wasn't the case of Eishes Ish. A woman can't be married to two men. Either this is her husband or that's her husband. The very fact that it says David took her for a wife means it was a legal, valid marriage. That when he took Bathsheba, it was a marriage. She was not an Eshesish. Va'osa harakta b'cherev b'nei Amon, and you killed him with the sword of b'nei Amon. Again, the rule is divrei. We say ein shliach l'dvar aveira. If somebody tells another to do something wrong, the one who has the main guilt is the one who does the aveira. Of course, you're not supposed to encourage somebody to do what's wrong, but basically everyone knows Divrei Harav and Divrei HaTalmud. If Hashem says to do one thing, and another person says to do differently, you can't say, well, he told me to do an Aveira. What do you mean, he told you to do an Aveira? Hashem said otherwise. So whatever David did, whatever instructions he sent, David's really not to blame fully. The Gemara mentions he's B'dinei Shamayim, in the law of heaven, David is held responsible. Certainly as the fact that he's a king who left that instructions, there is a greater guilt. But the Gemara also mentions that the law of listening to a king is only if the king doesn't tell one to do an Aveira. Now, if this was an Aveira, in the end result of it is really not held culpable for that. But the Novi Nosson tells David in the harshest terms, Va'osa Haragta, you killed him with the sword of Bnei Ammon. The Gemara also explains it to mean just like you're not responsible for what the enemy soldiers do, you're really not responsible for the fact that the enemy killed Uriah. Va'ata, but now, Losasur Cherev Mideischa, the sword will not be removed from your house ad olam forever. David HaMelech is told that the sword is going to be part of Malchus Beis David till the end of time. And we'll learn in Shmuel Beis later, Avshalom, who was one of David's sons, killed another son, Amnon. And afterwards, Avshalom himself was killed by Yoav. His son Shlomo HaMelech ended up killing Adoniyo. We'll learn all these stories later. This is in Melachim. There was somebody, Yehu, who killed the brothers of the king Amatziah. There were 42 men in the royal family. There was Asaliah. There was a woman who took over as the queen, and she killed a lot of the royal family. And the kings Yoash and Amatziah and Ammon were killed. Yoshio was killed. We mentioned that Kinos on Tisha B'Av, how he was shot by the enemy arrows. There were many kings from Malchus Beis David who ended up being killed. And the last king, at the time of the Churban, Tzidkio HaMelech, his sons were killed. He was blinded and his sons were killed. So this Nevuah tragically came true, that Va'ata now lo sosur cherev mi beischa. Because of what David did, he's held responsible, and the sword won't be removed from his house ad olam forever. Again, where people are killed, and the Mefarshim point this out, they were obviously guilty. Lo yumsu avos al banim uvanim lo yumsu al avos. People don't die because of what their ancestor did. But ordinarily, if somebody does something wrong and he does an aveira, for whatever reason, Hashem has a reason he deserves to be killed. Hashem is an erech apayim, and there's an extension, and hopefully the person will do tshuva. And the midas hadin, he's not immediately punished, even though he deserves it. What David is being told over here, this extension won't be given to his family. That if his descendants deserve to be killed, for whatever reason, some of them were tzaddikim, but if for whatever reason they deserve to be killed, there wouldn't be this erech apayim, and the sword would be part of David's family. Ekev ki vizisoni, because you despised me. Batikach es eshes Uriah Achiti, you took the wife of Uriah Achiti, lios lechol isha, to be for you as a wife. Or as David took her, again, besides when he initially took her, and then she went back home, he took Bathsheba after Uriah died, he took her again, and then they had the son Shlomo HaMelech that we'll learn about, and she remained his wife. Ko Amar Hashem, so says Hashem. Now the Nevuah began when Nosson came to David and he told him the story. And David gave the verdict that this was the punishment that wealthy man deserves for taking the poor man's sheep. At that point in Pasuk Zion, Nosson said to David, you're the man, and Ko Amar Hashem, so says Hashem, I've made you the king, and you did what was wrong. I gave you everything. I gave you the royal household of Shaul, and I gave you the women from Shaul's family, and why do you despise the word of Hashem? And now Nosson reiterates, besides the Musa, this punishment that we're mentioning now, Ko Amar Hashem, so says Hashem, Hineni mekim olecha ra'a. I'm going to cause to rise up bad. Evil is going to rise up mi beisecha from your own house. V'lokachtias noshecha le'inecha. And I'm going to take your wives in front of your eyes, that David HaMelech will see what happens, that his wives are going to be taken. V'nosati l're'echa, and it's going to be given to your friend, to your comrade, the one who's like you. V'shochav im noshecha, and this usurper, the one who's going to rise up, is going to lie with your wives, l'eini ha'shemesh hazos, in front of the sun. Now it's going to be evident, everyone's going to be aware of it. Now this friend here, v'nosati l're'echa, this one who's a comrade, like David, was actually his son. Was his son Avshalom. Some of Forshim say, I guess, I mean, the surprising thing is a son like Avshalom, but he's still called his friend, he's still a son. It's a son, and the son's going to do a terrible, terrible thing. But he's called l're'echa, the friend of David. It's David's son, Avshalom. The other meaning could be that Avshalom is going to make himself king. And therefore he's going to be, just like David is a king, the Reyecha, there's going to be another king of equal stature. Avshalom is going to become the king. And when he's king, he will take the Pilagshim, actually the concubines of David, to be his. And we'll learn later on the reason why he did it was simply to show that whoever backs him doesn't have to worry. There won't be a reconciliation. This is an outright revolt. And by taking David HaMelech's Pilagshim would make it clear that this was an absolute break. And he would never be making peace with his father. And he's the new king. David HaMelech's reaction. He wrote a Perek in Tehillim. Mizmor leDavid. We'll learn about it later. Bevorchu mipnei Avshalom b'no. David HaMelech sang a song when he had to flee from his son Avshalom, who became the king. And the Gemara said, "What's he singing? What's the mizmor? It should say kina. This is the greatest lament that he had such a tragedy. His son rebelled against him." And the Gemara says in Brachos that till this point, when he realized it was his son, David had no idea who this person is. Hineni mekim olecha ra'a mi beisecha. Somebody evil is going to rise up from his household. Maybe he'll be a slave. Maybe he'll be some type of mamzer who's somehow in the household. Somebody in the royal family or in the royal household or the servants, somebody would rise up against him. And maybe that person would have no mercy whatsoever and would be cruel, and David's life would be in danger, and who knows what could happen. And when he realized it's his son, and as bad as it would be, it's not the son that he wanted to be king. It is a revolt. But the worst thing is that a different son is the king. It's a son, and his son will have mercy, and will have rachmanis on him. He was able to somehow say a mizmor, to sing about the fact that it could have been even worse. But this is what Nathan's telling him. I'm going to bring up a ra'ah, there's going to be an evil rising up from your family. And I'm going to take your wives in front of you, meaning that's what Avshalom is going to do. And here the Radak brings down the question in terms of how does Bechira work. In other words, David is being told in advance that this sin is going to be committed, that Avshalom is going to take David's wives as his own. And as he explains, first of all, it could be somebody will do it. Somebody will end up rebelling and taking David's wives. It doesn't have to be Avshalom. It was Avshalom's own sin and Avshalom's own bad judgment and wickedness that he did this action. The Navi's just saying it will happen through somebody. The other pshat the Radak brings down from Yivsad Yagon is, so says Hashem, Hineni mekim olecha ra'a mi beisecha. The decree is that somebody will rise up against you. And that itself would not necessarily, depending on what happens, that was the decree from Hashem. What happens afterwards is not a decree. That depends what he will do. But with prophetic vision, Nosan says, That's what's going to happen. It's not a decree, and it's something that's beyond human comprehension. But the Rambam makes the point of Hashem is all-knowing, and Hashem is not bound by time. Whereas for Hashem, there's no such thing as past, present, future, because He's not locked in with a clock. There's no time. Everything is one. HaYehovah V'yiyah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is eternal, and there's no... The future is just as clear as what happened already. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows exactly what is going to happen. Yet, Avshalom has 100% Bechira. In other words, everyone of us have exact Bechira to choose exactly what we will do, yet Hashem knows exactly what we're going to choose. How is that possible? That's beyond the human comprehension. But the Navi is saying, V'lakachtiyas nashecha leinach. That's what's going to happen. Your wives will be taken in front of your eyes, V'nasati l'reyecha, and I'll give it over to your friend, the one who's like you, V'shochav im nashecha, and he'll lie together with the wives, the concubines, the pilagshim, le'enei Hashemesh hazos, and it'll be evident, everyone will see, will be aware of what's happening, it'll be like in front of the sun. Also, the Gemara says, the Yitzur shel Adam yiskaber olav b'chol yom. A person's Yitzhahara is constantly battling with a person. And it's without siyata dishmai, without Hashem helping a person, he wouldn't be able to withstand the Yitzhahara. It could be what Hashem is saying is, Avshalom is being going to be placed in a predicament that he's just not going to have that siyata dishmai. Or this is like sort of foretold that he's not going to be given the assistance. And his test is just going to be that much harder. It's hard to, in other words, even if he's not forced to do it, but without giving him that special siyata dishmaya, without the help, almost nobody would be able to do what's right. And Avshalom is going to be placed possibly at this disadvantage that he'll end up doing the wrong thing. Ki ato asiso vasoser, because you, David HaMelech, did what you did secretly. David's concern was everything was technically permitted. The one problem is he didn't want to make a chil Hashem, so he did it secretly. But that wasn't enough. In fact, he's blamed. You did what was wrong, and you did it secretly. Ki ato sisav asos, you did it secretly. But vani eses hadover hazeh, I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to bring this punishment. Neged kol Yisrael, all of Klal Yisrael is going to see this embarrassment. V'neged Hashemesh, and it's going to be evident to everyone, like in front of the sun. Vayomer David el Nosan. David just heard such harsh, terrible rebuke, what he was told by Nosan. And David says to Nosan two words, Chotosi Lashem, I've sinned to Hashem. And this is the greatness of David, that we mentioned when Shaul made mistakes, the Malbim points it out, and the Navi came to Shaul and told Shaul what he did wrong. Shaul justified it, and it could be he really didn't see what was wrong. As we learned at that point, really what Shaul did for us would not have been wrong. But David immediately also had a rationale. He could have easily explained how everything he did was permitted, and he knew that Bathsheba was destined for him, and he had all the reasons why it should not have been wrong. But when he was told this, he said, Chotosi Lashem, I sinned, no excuses, no rationales. He accepted the blame. And you see the power of speech from here. When David was told the story about the rich man who took the poor man's little sheep, David said over there, Kiven Moves, the person who does this deserves death. And because that's what David HaMelech said with his mouth, the guy who does such a thing deserves the greatest punishment. The Navi said to him, Ata Ha'ish, you're the one. And David got such a terrible punishment that the sword would be part of David's family, because David himself said that such a crime deserves such a punishment. And again, with David's mouth, now David realized what was wrong, and he said, Chotosi Lashem, and therefore I sinned, and therefore we'll see his sentence is commuted, and it's the punishment is lessened. Vayomer Nosan al David. So Nosan said to David, Gam Hashem hevir chatoscha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has removed your sin. Lo samus. You yourself won't die. And it was the fact that you immediately acknowledge what you did wrong, lo samus, you won't die. And this was something that David HaMelech had as part of the family, part of the royal family. David is from Shevet Yehuda, as we remember the story with Yehuda and Tamar in Sefer Bereishis, that Yehuda took Tamar and then she became pregnant. Originally she was his daughter-in-law. Over there, Yehuda immediately accepted the blame. And he said, Sadka, she's correct. And she doesn't deserve to die, she's expecting the child is from him. Yehuda took the blame. And Yehuda was recognized, Yehuda Atza Yaducha Achecha, Yehuda was recognized as the one who was fit for royalty. That trait you see now with David. It's the royal trait. Nowadays they say it's the person with a good, healthy self-esteem can accept the blame. If somebody doesn't feel that way, it's a certain quality. Chazal discusses the quality of royalty that he can agree that he's wrong. Or the person can be wrong and he's still, and it could be a terrible mistake, but it doesn't totally shatter him and he's able to accept the blame and carry on and do what he has to do. And that was a trait that David HaMelech had that came from Shevet Yehuda. And there's a pause here. Vayomer David el Nosan. David said to Nosan, Chatasi l'Hashem. I sinned to Hashem. And there's like a break. Because now all of a sudden, we'll see it's David's still going to go through a terrible... We're going to see that the child is going to die. But there's already... Once he's done tshuva, we're going to view David in a different light. He's going to be suffering as a result of his mistake, but yet we see David HaMelech again in his greatness. There's a break here. We're now seeing a new picture of David. Vayomer Nosan el David. So Nosan said to David, Gam Hashem hevir chatos kol osamus. Hashem has removed your chatos. You won't die. In Tehillim, Perek Lamed Beis, over there David discusses. The perek begins with David Maskil, Ashrei Nesui Pesha. David says, fortunate is somebody whose Pesha, whose rebellious sins are forgiven, Kisui Chata, if his sins are covered over. And he talks about the fact, he says, Chatosi Odiacha, I'll inform you, I'll let you know of my Chatos, I'll admit that I sinned. Vavoni lo chisisi, in my avon, which is a more severe sin, is called an avon, I didn't cover over. Amarti, I said, Ode alei fishoi l'Hashem, I'll admit to my pesha, my rebellious sins. Va'ata, but you didn't even allow me to get that far. I told you my chatos, chatosi odiacho, I told you my chatos. That's our pasuk over here. Chatosi l'Hashem. And David was ready to go further and acknowledge that there was an avon and that there was a pesha. But as the pasuk ends off, "V'ata nasasa avon chatosi sela," you forgive the avon of my chatos forever. David didn't cover over his avon, but the Novi like stopped him. David didn't even have a chance to elaborate and continue his vidui. Once he said Chatosi l'Hashem, he acknowledged he was wrong, it stops right there. He didn't have to say any more, and the Novi told him, Gam Hashem hevir chatoscha. Hashem has also removed your chatos. Lo samus, you won't die. The Me'am Lois brings down that for 13 years, David was sick, and he was lying in bed. He was sick over anguish of the Savera, of what he did wrong. And he had 7 cushions or pillows under him, and they had to switch it every day. He was drenched and from tears, from his crying, as he went through a wrenching type of kapara, of tshuva, to totally remove his Avera. And in the end, he was forgiven. And the truth is, he didn't see it in his lifetime. But the Gemara says, it's the Gemara in Shabbos, in Perek Mamem Adlikin, that when they were bringing the Aron into the Beis HaMikdash, and Shlomo HaMelech said, he wanted to bring the Aron Kishabona on Daf Lamed, the Gemara on Shabbos on Daf Lamed, Kishabona Shlomo's Beis HaMikdash, he wanted to bring the Aron into the Kodesh Kadoshim, and the gates stayed closed, and they wouldn't open up. And Shlomo HaMelech said 24 renonos, 24 songs of praise to Hashem, and he wasn't answered. He said, Pisku Shar Mashaychem, Vinosu Pisku Yavod, let the King of Glory enter. And the gates thought he was referring to himself, that he's the Melech HaKavod. So the Gemara says, it's as if the gates came running after Shlomo HaMelech. They thought he was calling himself the Melech HaKavod. Amru, they said, me who's the Melech HaKavod? Who's the one who's calling himself the Melech HaKavod? So Shlomo HaMelech clarified, Hashem Izuz V'Gibor. And the end was, he wasn't answered until he said, Hashem Elokim, Al Toshev Pnei Mishichecha, Zochra Lechaste David Avdecha. Remember the chesed of David, your servant. And at that point, the gates opened up and he could bring in the Aron. David HaMelech went through, we'll see, he ended his life with always this cloud over his head. Because it was never clear that he was forgiven. Hashem gave the sign, but only after David was nifter. And David was seeing now, went through all this tshuva, in the most extreme way that as the Me'am Lois brings down, he drenched his tears, his bed with tears for years. The Gemara says, by David, Lo hoye David royu lo oisu maise. David was not fit to do this action. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to happen. It was the type of thing that normally would not have occurred. We mentioned this the first year when we were learning the sinyan of David and Bathsheba. And it's to teach the power of tshuva. It also teaches another thing. It teaches the power of tshuva that David, as much as the Navi considers it such a terrible aveira, yet David is able to do tshuva and get over it and become the greatest from the greatest in Klal Yisrael. That we say, Mogen David, he's like the Merkava, like the Shechina rests over David HaMelech. The greatest things are said about David. And there's another lesson. The lesson is, the Gemara says, that a person shouldn't trust himself. The Mefarshim bring down, a person shouldn't trust himself. Even if he reaches a Madrega, like David HaMelech, the highest Madregas of Chassidus, a person has to always be on guard for something that, a simple aver that everyone's careful with. But as holy as a person is, he's got to be careful from, this is a lesson that, if it could happen, if a Kodesh Baruch Hu could allow it to happen to David, it's a lesson for us that a person should never feel confident and secure that he doesn't have to worry about such a type of avera. The Gemara in Sukkah, the Gemara brings down a Maisa. It's on Daf Nun Beis in Sukkah. It's talking about the Yetzirah. And the Gemara says the Yetzirah leaves the Goyim and focuses on Klal Yisrael. Because if you can make a Jewish person sin, that sin is much more powerful and does much more damage than the sin of a guy. So he focuses on the Jews. And the Gemara says he focuses on the Tamid Chachamim Yosem Mikulam. He focuses, if he can get a Tamid Chacham to sin, that's worth more than everything to the Yetzirah. The Gemara brings a Maisa. Kihod Abaya. There was a story with Abaya. Shamei Lahu Gavra. He heard a man. The Amar Lahi Itza. And the man said to a woman, Natim Benezel Beurcha. Let's get up early. And we'll go on that, we'll travel on the road. Amar Sabaya heard that. He said, Ezel, I'll go, Afreshinu Meisur, and I'll stop them from doing an Aveira. Obviously, it was the type of thing he couldn't go over to them, and they're just going to walk, they're going to travel together. It's nothing like they're doing necessarily an Aveira there, but they're traveling on the roads. They probably end up in secluded areas. I'll travel and back, and if anything happens, I'll break it up. Other Basrayu, so Abaya went trailing them, and he followed them. Tlosa Parsi, three parses, which is a long distance, a few miles. A parse is four meal, it's 12 meal, it's a few miles he went with them. Ba'agma and the meadow and the fields, it was empty land. Kiavu Parshi Me'adodi, when the man and woman separated, Shaminu Deka Amri, Abaya heard them saying, Urchin Rechika, our destinations are far apart. We traveled together, but now you have to go to your city, I have to go to my city. We are far away. B'tzasim B'sima, but the company was very pleasant. And that's it. They left. So Abaya walked after them for a few miles. Three parses he went. Amar Abaya. So Abaya said, Iman de soni li hava, if it would have been my enemy, referring to himself, but he didn't want to say chas v'shalom that he would do such an aveira. So he referred to it like his enemy, his Yetzirah. If it would have been my enemy, lo hava motzi lo kumei nafshei, I wouldn't have been able to withstand the nisayon. Here was all alone, nobody knows, nobody sees. They didn't know that Abaya was somewhere in the back. Ozel tola nafshi bibura didasha. He went and he leaned against the bolt of the door. Like he was deep in thought, like he couldn't stand straight, like he was resting, like he was deep in thought and very upset. Umitztair. It was mitztair. How could it be? There's a regular man and woman that were nothing. They didn't seem to be any special madrigas of Kedusha. Huh? But they're walking on the road and they're all there happened. Osahu Saba, there was a zokin, an old man came to him, Tonale, and he taught him the following rule. Kol agodol mechaveiro yitzro godol himenu. Whoever is greater than the other, the greater you are, your Yetzirah is greater. In fact, the Gemara mentions, it's startling, but the Gemara mentions, for instance, certain things are not any problem of yichud. You're allowed to be alone. Let's say two men are allowed to be alone. Because you don't assume that they're going to do any sin together. There's no concern. But the Gemara mentions in the Rambam, this is a quote of the Rambam in Hilchos Isurei Bia in the 22nd Perek, in the second Halacha. It says, Lo nechshitu Yisrael amishkav zochav ala behema. A Jewish person is not suspected of sinning together with two men living together or with an animal. These things don't happen among Jews. You know, they're not suspected. And therefore there's no Easter in having yichud. You're allowed to be alone in a room. There's no problem with yichud. V'im nisrachek afilu miyichud zachor u'behema hareza meshubach. But if somebody's careful even on such a thing, it's praiseworthy. Because we don't look at it as saying, oh, the guy's crazy and stuff. But the attitude is that a person should take any additional safeguards, even if it's the type of thing you'd never imagine to be a problem. The greatest chachamim, it's the Gemara in Kiddushin, the greatest chachamim would make sure that they weren't even left alone together with an animal. They were careful on yichud, even though it's like almost no concern. But the lesson seems to be that the greater person is not the pshat who he doesn't have the Yetzirah. But the greater person is careful not to be caught in any situation where there could be a nisayon, that the challenge is to avoid any area that such a thing could happen. That's the sign of greatness. But David HaMelech, that's a lesson here, that a person should never trust himself, no matter how great he is, that he shouldn't make the mistake and stumble in such a aveira. And when the Gemara says David wasn't fit to do such a thing, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, normally there is siyata dishmaya. HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps them out, and the Gemara has stories with the Tanoim not to sin. And David HaMelech was not given that siyata dishmaya. HaKadosh Baruch Hu here, he asked for the test, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the test, and he didn't have that special siyata dishmaya, and therefore he was nichshol, he made this mistake. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu Gam Hashem Hevir Chatos, Hashem has removed Aveira. They bring down that when a person does an Aveira, it has an effect. We don't see it. But somebody who I assume has Ruach HaKodesh, somebody's able, there are those who can see on the person that if he's done an Aveira, it makes an indelible imprint on the person. David HaMelech's tshuva was so great, HaKodesh Baruch Hu removed the Chatos like it doesn't exist. And Lo Samus, he wouldn't die, but he'll have an eternal life in Olam Haba, and David will remain. Ephes, but in Pasuk Yudalit, Ephes. However, kiniyetz ni'atzot oyvei Hashem. But you gave the enemies of Hashem an opportunity, as the Targum says, to open up their mouth. What you did is going to cause the enemies of Hashem to speak and say the wrong things. Vadovar Hazem, this manner, and this matter, as you've created a chil Hashem. Gam habein hayilod l'cha, the child that will be born, Basheva was expecting, the child that would be born, mos yomus, die he will die. It's final, it won't help in this case to daven. The child, he will definitely die, this child. Because what David HaMelech did is going to cause nietz ni'atzotz oyvei Hashem. The enemies of Hashem are going to speak out. And you see from it that the person who misinterprets, and somebody who learns this, these prakim wrong, as if David would have chas v'shalom done this avera as it seems to be at face value, that's what the enemies of Hashem said. Somebody who learns it with Chazal and knows the pshat, like we've been learning, wouldn't make the mistake and would not be in the category of oyvei Hashem, the enemies of Hashem. Another pshat is nietz ni'atzos oyvei Hashem, you've blasphemed, you've angered Hashem. But again, in a nice way, it said what's called the Lashon Sagi Nor in a euphemistic way. You've angered the enemies of Hashem. But it means you've angered Hashem. You've made a chil Hashem, and therefore the Bein Hayilod will die. And a final pshat, Abar Benel says, all the years David had been giving Musar and had been correcting people who did the wrong thing. Anybody who is guilty of retzicha, of killing somebody else, of course David HaMelech criticized him and rebuked him. Anybody who sinned in arayas, in forbidden relations, of course David HaMelech gave them musar and told them what a terrible thing it is. Nietz ni'atzos oyvei Hashem, the enemies of Hashem, those who did wrong, you angered and you rebuked them and you chastised them, and now you yourself did a similar action. Therefore, you're held extra responsible for it. If you correct somebody else, and then you yourself stumble in that same area, you're held more blameworthy. In other words, you're aware of the severity, and you've been, and yet you don't seem to care about it yourself. And therefore, David HaMelech is held to blame. This is the message of Noson. He doesn't comfort David. He doesn't make David feel better. That's the message. Vayelech Noson al Beiso, Noson went to his house. That was it. He didn't hang around. The Novi makes a point of saying he said what he had to say and he left. Vayigof Hashem es hayeled, and now Hashem struck that baby that was born. Asher yolda esha suri yolda David, the child that was born to the wife of Uriah, and it was born now to David, that child was stricken by Yeonash and he became critically ill. Vayivakesh David eso Elokim ba'ad ha-noar. David was mispalo. He davened for this child. Even though he had been told that the child would die, could be he didn't realize the implication of Mos Yomus is that tefillah won't help. Or could be he felt that with a vayotzam David som, if he fasts also, uvo, and when he came back, he spent the day in front of the Aron, and when he returned home at night, v'lon, he'd lie down without eating a meal, v'shachav artzan, he'd lie on the ground. Such a tremendous, not just the tefillah, but the whole tshuva, and the whole tefillah, and the fasting, and the whole process would perhaps be enough to save the life of this, of the baby. Vayigof Hashem es hayeled. In Pasuk Tesvov, it says, Hashem struck the yeled. That's with Midas HaRachamim, Yudke Vovke. It's with Hashem showing himself as the Rachman, that Hashem is merciful. Because it was the greatest mercy what was happening to this child. because for David this would bring it. This would be the final honor. He gets his punishment, and he has with his tshuva and with his kapara. It was the best for David, and for the child, he wouldn't grow up having a stigma for the rest of his life that people would know that he was born from such an incident, such an affair with David. It was best for the child that he would just die, and that was it. But David viewed it, Vayvakesh David, it doesn't say Hashem, it's Eshu Elokim. David realized that he was being judged with the Midas Hadin, that strict law and justice, and therefore he was Mavakesh, he dived into Hashem for the child to try to save the life. The Gemara learns out, there's a tradition from David HaMelech, which we see here, that afilu cherev chad munachas al savoro shel adam. Even if there's a sharp sword that's lying on somebody's neck, al yimna adam atzma min harachamim, you don't refrain from davening. That no matter what, whatever it's said, l'maisa, a person should always daven and should always make that effort, and the tefillah always has an effect. Sometimes it'll help him right now in this situation, sometimes it won't, but a person should always, always daven, and that tefillah will bring him a reward and bring him or his descendants a benefit. The elders of the house got up, arose, and went to David, to get David to stand up. He shouldn't lie on the ground. He's the king. But David didn't want. He didn't want to eat with them. And the word vora is like sudas havra'a, that a mourner is given a little meal. Vlo vora means even a small amount of food. Notice he didn't want to eat at all. He showed his extreme anguish. Vayhi bayom hashvi'i, and it was on the seventh day, vayomas hayolad. The child died. The baby died. Vayiru avdei David lahagid. So the servants of David were now afraid to tell him, kimeis hayolad, that this child died. Ki Omru, they said, Hine, behold, Biyos Hayelet Chai, when the baby was alive. Di Barnoelo, we spoke to David. Velo Shama Bekalenu, and he didn't listen to our voice. We tried to convince David that he should eat, and he should lie on a regular bed, and he shouldn't torment himself as he was doing. And that was when the baby was alive. Veich no, my love, how can we say now to David, Meis Hayelet, that the child actually died? V'asarah, he'll do something terrible. Who knows how David's going to react? You see how caring he is and how upset he is about what is when the baby was sick. Vayar David. David saw ki avodav mislach Hashem. He saw that his servants were whispering. Vayoven David ki meis hayoleh. David understood that the baby had died. Vayomer David el avodav. So David sent to his servants, Hameis hayeled, did the child die? Vayomru meis. And they said he died. Chazal make the point that a person in general should not convey bad news. And as a good person, it seems a good person shares good news, doesn't bring bad tidings. And if bad news has to be shared, it should be done in a roundabout way that the person on his own figures out what happened. The Gemara has a maisin in Pesachim. That Rav was the nephew of Reb Chiya. He was Reb Chiya's brother and Reb Chiya's sister. They were half brothers, half sister. They weren't related. It was a brother, a half brother, and a married half sister of Reb Chiya, and they had a son, Rav. The great Rav had an uncle, Reb Chiya, and Reb Chiya was the uncle from his father and his mother's side. Anyways, Reb Chiya met Rav. Rav had come to Reb Chiya. He came up to Eretz Yisrael to Reb Chiya. So Reb Chiya said to him, Evo Kayam, is Evo, that was his name, is your father, which was Reb Chiya's brother, is Evo alive? So Rav didn't answer. According to the way Rashi learns, Amalei said to him, Ima Kayemes, and my mother's alive. In other words, he asked about the father. What about my mother? So Amalei said to him, Ima Kayemes, is the mother alive? Amrale, so Rav said, well, he asked him about my mother. Abel Kayim, is Abel alive? And I never answered you about my father. Amrale Lashame, so Rav Chiya immediately understood that obviously they had both passed away. Obviously, it could be there was a long time between when this happened. Rav happened to come up to Eretz Yisrael and he brought the news. So anyways, he took off his shoes and he was no Hague Avelus. But you see the idea that a person should not bring the bad tidings. And here the servants, when they were asked, Hames Hayela, they also were very brief. They didn't say Mes Hayela. They just said died. And David would figure, obviously, if I asked what happened with the child and they said died, obviously that means the child died. But Yochum David Me'aretz. But now they were surprised. David got up from the ground by Yirchatz and he washed himself. By Yosech, and he smeared on oils. By Yechali Simlosov, he changed his clothing. By Yovo Beis Hashem, and he came to the Beis Hashem, he came to where the Aron was. By Yishtochu, and he bowed down. By Yovo El Beiso, then he came back to his house. And they knew that David was fasting. Nobody offered him any food. But by Yishol, he asked, by Yasimul Olechem, and they prepared the meal, they put down bread, they prepared the meal. By Yochal and David ate. So now his servant said to him, so what is this matter that you're doing? When the child was alive, so it wasn't yet a tragedy, he was still alive. Samta, you fasted. Vatevkin, you cried. And when the child dies, Kamta, you get up. And you eat bread. Now is when the mourning begins. Some of Forshim say they were alluding to the fact if a person accepts that he's going to fast, that somebody should have a refuah shleima. So once he accepts the fast, he's got to finish the fast. Even if the person, whether he dies or lives, if he accepted the fast, he's got to finish the fast. So what they're asking was, you were fasting when he was alive. How come that now he died, the fast is over? But David clarified, when I accepted the fast, I made it very clear, I'm only fasting while he's alive, and my fast will help, with the understanding that if it doesn't help and he dies, the fast should be over. That was my beferish, that was the intention that I had. Vayomer, and he said, Ba'od ha'yelet chai, when the child was still alive, Samti, I fasted, Vo'evka, and I cried, Kiomarti, I said, Miyodei, who knows? V'chanani Hashem, perhaps Hashem will show me favor. You see, even the way David speaks, now, he accepts full responsibility, but it'd be a special chayin, like a free gift. Yeah. Hashem will show me favor, v'chayayol, and the child will live. So I davened and I did whatever, because deserving or not, maybe Hashem will grant the child life. Va'atames. But now the child died. Lo mazeh anitzom. Why should I fast? Ha'uchal ha'shivo od. Can I bring him back? He's nifter. That's it. It's finished. Ani holeich elov. I'm going to him. V'hu lo yashuv eloi. He's not coming back to me. He's on the road that everyone travels. That's it. So I fasted and I did whatever I could. But now once he was nifter, there's no reason to fast and no reason to mourn. Now see why there's no reason to mourn. I mean, the child died. If anything, he got up, he washed himself and he put on oils and he changed his clothing. These are things that an ovel is not allowed to do, Rahman al-Islam, lo aleinu. A mourner can't do these things. But there are a number of answers. First of all, he was in the category of an onein, meaning before the burial, these restrictions don't apply. As the child had just died and he had been suffering all this time, but before he wouldn't be an oval yet anyways, because it's before the burial. Also, the oval's not allowed to wash himself, but if he got dirty, let's say he got splattered with mud, he got dirty, he's allowed to wash off the dirt. For a king, even a minuscule amount of dirt is dirt. In other words, if he was lying on the floor, for a king, he's expected to look impeccably clean. So for David, it wasn't considered like an unusual tainug. A king has to look at his best. Melech b'yofyo techezena einecha. The Gemara says a king would take a haircut every day. You know, the king had to look his best. So it wasn't like a special, like a pleasure. Till now he was suffering, but once it was over, there was no limitations that because of an oval. Also, the truth is this child had died, had became sick and died right after birth. It could be it had the din of a nathal. If a baby doesn't live 30 days at least, it's not considered to be a living. We know that it's, in our nathal, it's considered to be like in the category of a stillborn. So even though the baby was born and then he was sick, but the fact that he had only lived a week or so, there was no din of mourning. And the last explanation is David didn't do this for his own pleasure, but he changed his clothing, washed himself, Vayavo Beis Hashem, and he came to the Beis Hashem, he came to the Aron. And we know, Chayev Adam Levarech Al Aro, Kishem Shu Mevarech Al Tova. A person has to bless Hashem when things are bad. And he's supposed to bless Hashem, Baruch Dayan HaEmes, like he blesses Hashem, Baruch HaTova HaMeitiv, like you're thanking Hashem for the good. David had the tragedy, it wouldn't help anymore now to be misfollowed for the child to live. It was over. So now he was going to go and thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all the chesed that Hashem did with him and the fact that the child died, but he's going now to the Aron. And before he went into the Makom Kadosh, before the presence of Hashem, he washed himself and he made himself look in the best possible. It's interesting to note later, when Amnon died, and when Avshalom died, these are other sons of David HaMelech, David did mourn, and he took it very hard, and we'll learn later on how the extreme grief that David had. But here also, again, it's different. They died, and they had Averis. They made mistakes, and they did the wrong thing, and now they were nifter, and if a person, as long as we're alive, a person can improve, and can change, and can do more mitzvahs, and can do tshuva. It's a lost opportunity, and David was overtaken with grief. This baby went back as a pure neshama, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu had whatever reasons HaKadosh Baruch Hu had that the baby should be born and should die, but the child is pure. And it's not like he came down, he did an aveira, and he died before doing tshuva. That's it. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. So David didn't feel the same grief that we'll see he had later on when he had adult children who died. Vayinachem David, eis Bathsheva ishto. David comforted his wife Bathsheva. Vayovo eleo, and he came to her, vayishkav imo, and lived with her. The Gemara learns out from here that an ovel is osur in tashmish amita. Somebody in mourning is forbidden to have relations with his wife. Over here, after he comforted her, that Shiva was, after she was comforted, which we learn out, even though, as we just said, really there was no din of a shiva, but after somebody in shiva would be, I guess, before the stage of being comforted. After a person has gone through the shiva, after he's comforted to a certain extent, then she's permitted. But Taylor Bain and Bathsheva had a son. This is the second son. Vatikra, the Cree, it's read as if she named him. It's written, Vayikra, he named the child. But it says, Vatikra, that we read it, Vatikra, she named the child. Vatikra Shmo Shlomo, she called his name Shlomo, Vashem Ahevo. And Hashem loved this child. Now the truth is the name was already foretold. It's brought down in Divrei HaYomim that Hashem said that David would have a son, and this son would, there would be shalom in his days, there would be peace in the days of this child, and this child would be the one to build the Beis HaMikdash. So the name was already predicted and given in advance. Now that the child was born, either Bathsheva with Ruach HaKodesh, Bathsheva with Zocha, she knew the name, she named him Shlomo, but that was the name that was determined. Or it could be Vayikra, he gave the name that had been preordained. The name was given Shlomo, Vashem Ahevo, and Hashem loved him. David knew that he would have a son who would build the Beis HaMikdash, he would have a son Shlomo. David knew that this would be the son born from Bathsheva, it would be the second child. Vashem Ahevo, and Hashem gave his consent. Hashem loved the child, and he said, you're right, this is the child that is going to have that special neshama. Hashem loved him, he's going to have a special neshama, he's going to have special abilities, and he's going to be able to accomplish great things. It's also of note the way David and Bathsheba reacted differently. And Mefarshim point out, when David had the loss, he immediately the child died, he got up from the ground, he washed himself, and that's it. In other words, he tried whatever he could, and that's it. He didn't go through any mourning period. It implies that Bathsheba did. Bathsheba had a hard time coping with his loss. I saw the Das Sofrim talks about the fact Bathsheba must have trusted David. In other words, David called Bathsheba, and he must have told Bathsheba. In other words, Bathsheba knew she had been married to Uriah, so even if he gave her a get, but David, in other words, she got the get, and she was divorced, but maybe Uriah would come back, and here David took her, and David must have told her that he knew that Bathsheba was destined to be his wife, and he takes her, and then she has a child, and the child dies. It seems like, in other words, she put her trust in David, and now it went wrong. And the child died. And it took David had to comfort Bathsheba, and he had to tell her that whatever, he should have waited, or maybe it wasn't the right time, but Lamaisa, he is correct that Bathsheba is destined to be his wife, and the child that they would have would become the great Shlomo HaMelech. Vayishlach biad Nosan HaNovi, a message was sent with Nosan HaNovi, Vayikra Shmo Yedidya, and the child was called Yedidya, Bavur Hashem, because of Hashem. The word Yedidya, it stands for Yedid, the one who's beloved, by Ka, by Hashem. The one who's beloved by Hashem, Bavur Hashem, because as we just learned, Hashem loved this child. The Gemara brings down in Menachos, Yavo Yedid, let the one who's beloved come, referring to Shlomo HaMelech. Ben Yedid, who's the descendant of the Yedid in this Pesukim that Avram Avinu was called Yedid. The Yivne Yedid, and he should build the beloved place, the beloved structure, the Beis HaMikdash, Li Yedid, to honor Hashem, who's called, there's a pasuk that Hashem is called Yedid. Bechelko Shel Yedid, and the portion of Yedid, meaning in the portion of Binyamin, the Yiskaprubo Yedidim, and it would bring a kapara to Klal Yisrael, who is called the Yedidim. Thank you. This Yavo Yedid, the Gemara says that. And the Gemara has, the Gemara brings a pasuk, here you see Shlomo is called Yedid. And it brings a pasuk that Avram is called Yedid, and Klal Yisrael is called Yedid, and the base, and Binyamin is called Yedid. Binyamin is in the Zos HaBrachel, Binyamin Amar Yedid Hashem, Yishkon Levetach Alof. Okay.